Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome back to the Voices of the Modern Heathens. The show is going to be about the relationship of the Christian and heathen faiths. I will be flying solo on this one, so no guest this time, but I do promise I will give you a window into the way of how I believe and how I see things. And remember, huge disclaimer, my opinion, the way I do things. And I really hope people who are listening to this understand that just because you don't believe the same way as I do and I don't worship the same way you do doesn't mean either of us are wrong. It actually means we're more right than we even know. You'll be learning how I practice on my modern path. I will be discussing my different obstacles that I have faced and how I kind of rose above them when coming and dealing with the Christian faith. Well, you know what? It's just me here, so let's get this thing started. Hello, listeners, and thanks for staying tuned. Like I said, I'm flying solo for the first time. Well, not the first time, but for the time being. What this will do will allow me to open up to you, my listeners, and show you why I'm so passionate about my path. Today I will be discussing, or we will be discussing, the origins of both the Christian religion and the heathen path. I will touch on the beginning of the following of Christ and the conversion and consolidation of the heathen followings. More so on the beginning and the origins of the Christianity. I know there's a lot of confusing information out there. In some groups that use the heathen teachings for hateful or hostile reasons, a super anti-Christian, and then there's the vice versa, the super religious zealots of the Christian faith that just demonize the heathen following. So I will start this off with about 10 talking points that are a lot more educational. Kind of like I've done my research on them with my schooling that I've done in the past, plus a lot of the research I've just done to get ready for the show. And then rather than having a head-to-head, because I don't have anybody to go head-to-head with, I'm going to change it to a rant, a Viking rant. And this Viking rant today is going to be about heathen conduct on social media. Okay. It is one that's bothering me lately, and I really just want to get this out there. Might lose some listeners. I'm sorry in advance, but some of the stuff needs to be said. And like always, if you want to support the show, we have opened up our online store with Teespring called The Ravens Market. All proceeds go to grow our channel. So bear with me, and we'll be right back after a quick shout out to our hosting service. Right on. We're back. And this is going to be fun. This is going to be totally raw. Rawer than any other episode. I have taken 10 points and I am just going to talk with them. I'm going to give you an honest, full-hearted answer. A lot of people won't like the answers. Some people will believe differently, but this is the point. Our heathen followings do not need to match. We are free to believe how we see fit. That is why we have folk tradition, family traditions, rather than traditional rituals and traditional practices like the Christians do. If my family and us want to cheers before we eat, and your family, your ceremony wants to cheers after we eat, neither of us are wrong. But you know what? When I go to your family's house, and I learn about the little bit of things you do differently, I might go, you know what? I'm going to add that to mine. And I'm going to grow my family's tradition or my folk tradition. Then I'll pass it to my kids who can look at things and be like, you know what? I'm going to change something. That's what one of our fundamental differences are between us and the Christians. The Christians had their faith, their following, turned into an organized religion. In organized religions, their rituals, their tradition are written in stone. If you don't do it right, you are wrong. And that's where a lot of heathens nowadays have this, what they call Christian baggage, that if we don't do it the same, somebody is wrong. And nobody is wrong. That is the best part about being a heathen, about being a heath folk, is that we are free to do it as we please, as long as it shows honor to our family, honor to our gods, honor to our ancestors. We should not push how we do things on others. That is a dishonor to our way. Rather, we should offer and show and teach and accept everybody for who they are. That is just the one way we can honor one another and grow as a following. We are not restricted as a religion. So in saying all that, we are going to get started. A lot of people forget that the Christian religion started off as a heathen or a pagan belief system. They started off as under the ancient Semitic religion. And that encompassed a whole bunch of multi-god religions in the area of the Near East and Northern Africa. So the term Semitic itself represents roughly a category of cultures, not just languages. There were many, many different languages. Approximately, the Semitic traditions and their pantheons fell into all kinds of categories, like the Canaanite religions of the Levant, the Sumerian tradition inspired by the Assyro-Babylonian religion, and the ancient Hebrew religion of the Israelites, and even the Arabian multi-god system before they became the Muslim faith. The Semitic polytheism is a belief system that's transitioned into the Arabic monotheism by a way of the god El, whose name is El, which is the word for God in Hebrew, which also correlates with the Arabic Allah or El, which we now know as Allah. So what I'm getting at is a lot of Christians don't understand that their religion has changed so much from the Old Testament, which had the name El Elon in it. It was in its scripture that God had a name. Only in the New Testament did they change so God didn't have a name anymore. He was just God. Not a name of a being or of a deity, but just God. The pre-Christians, they had many gods. The ancient Hebrew religion, like other peoples of the ancient Near East, the Semitic people were polytheistic. I'm sorry guys, English is my first language, but I'm not always the best. With families typically focusing on the worship of ancestral household gods and goddesses while acknowledging the existence of other deities. So what it's saying is that even the Semitic people didn't have to solely worship El or Elon. They didn't have to worship the highest god of their path. They were allowed to have what they called household gods. That is like us having a patron god. For myself, it's Balder. Balder is in my life. Balder walks his path with me. And that is another podcast that I'm having next time. But anyways, back to what we're talking about here. These ancient people also in the Near East, the Israelites and the Hebrews also believe that their kings may have been gods, which is an important note because this translates to how the Christian faith pulled that one and kept it into their testaments, because they used that to sway kings of cultures that weren't following the Christian path by telling them, hey, you convert to us. You have now been put on that throne by God, by the Almighty, by the highest God there is. Now, that's not the only thing they kept. They kept a lot of our ancient traditions or our folk traditions. This is why it does bother me when some people are like, oh, the Christians stole our religions. They didn't steal them. They were always theirs. They just reworded them. Or like Disney says, they remastered them. Which means they took a good thing and they corrupted it for greed. And it bothers me so much that there's so many Christians out there that will spit on somebody wearing the hammer of Thor, that will spit on somebody who wants to practice Wicca. But really, in the end, they have the same roots as we do, and they don't even know it. Because most Christians nowadays have never even cracked open or even Googled the Old Testament. In the ancient Semitic path, which did become the Christian faith, the main God that became the Christian God, according to the Pantheon, known as the Ugarit or Ilam, or the children of El, which was in the Bible as the sons of God, the creator deity called El, which later on became just God, fathered other deities. This is important because in Genesis 14:18-19, it talks of Elyon as God Most High, whose priest was Merodach, the king of Solomon. Philo states that the union between Elyon and his consort resulted in the birth of Uranus and Ge, the Greek names for heaven and earth. This close parallels the opening verse of the Hebrew names of heaven and earth, and closely parallels the verse in the Hebrew Bible or Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elham, created the heavens and the earth. It also parallels the story of the Babylonian gods. So, unfortunately, if there are any Christian listeners out there, it's not that the term Christian isn't right, because Christian is the follower of Christ, which is a son of God, of a God, but the son of El, not the God. He's son of one of the gods, just like Hercules. Whether you want to believe Hercules is Thor, which I don't, I believe Hercules and Achilles and these Hector and these other heroes of them that had these abilities that people believe they were sons of gods. I do believe that. In every ancient religion, including the pre-Christian religion, the ancient Hebrew texts, the Dead Sea Scrolls, they talk about gods, these or higher humans or higher beings, whatever you want to call them, having relations with mankind. Our females are beautiful, but that wasn't just them. There were female deities that came down to have the consorts with men. So, is Jesus a real person? I do believe so. Is he the Almighty? He is one of them. And we'll get to that in a bit. That's one of my talking points here soon. The creation story, the pagan Hebrews, they do have a creation story that's similar to the one in the Bible. Now, listen here. So the Enam Elish has been compared to the Genesis creation narrative, and some writers trace the story of Esther to Babylonian roots, El Elyon also appeared in the Balaam's story in Numbers and in Moses' songs to the Deuteronomy 32.8. And even the Masoretic text suggests that when the Most High, Elon, divided the nations in their inheritance, he separated the sons of men, and he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel. Now, think of this. Rather than sons of Israel, like the Septuagint, the old Greek Testament, suggests Angelion Theo, or angels of God, and a few versions even have Hirion Theo, sons of God. Now, the Dead Sea Scroll version of this suggests that there were, in fact, 70 sons of the Most High God, sent to rule over the 70 nations of earth. This idea of 70 nations of earth ruled over by one of Elohim's sons is found in the Ugaritic text as well. And the Ersian Tash inscription suggests that each of the 70 sons of Elyon was bound to their people by a convent. And thus he translated to the Eternal One has made a convent oath with us. Asher has made a pact with us. And all the sons of El and the great council of the Holy Ones with oaths of heaven and ancient earth. This section of the Dead Sea Scroll literally states that Elon, also been translated to Kronos in Greek and to Bor in ancient Scandinavian, is the father of the gods. This is also where we start going down the path of the Indo-European pantheon, or the pantheon of the Indo-European gods. So what it's saying is that all the gods were born of one god, which fine, because all the creation stories have that one god. Now, most of those stories doesn't work out well for the one god. The other gods take over, or he leaves, or whatever. I'm not getting into the debate with myself on the creation stories. I'm trying to give you guys information to not combat, but to educate some of these extremist Christians that cannot handle the fact that there are people that believe in the heathen gods or the heathen practices, which technically are the exact same as theirs. Just our eyes aren't shut. We aren't confused by a book. We aren't controlled by traditional religion or rituals. We are free because of family tradition and folk tradition. We are able to grow and mature as a path, as they are stagnant and controlled by a religion. All right, let me keep going here. Whew. I do like this. This is good. So, back to how the ancient Hebrews, ancient Israelites, and I keep going to them because they are the original creators of the Christian path. And they are. I don't care what anybody says. It wasn't the Romans. The Romans took what the Israelites and the Hebrews created, their following, their gods, and they manipulated it to give them power and control over people. So, the Hebrews of old, they believed in the one God ruled over all the other gods, and they called him or her, most believe it's him, El, Elyon, But that's not how they practice. They practice like a patron god in ancient Near Eastern religion, or I shouldn't use the word religion, but faith, held a unique position among the gods. As the most powerful and the most just of the gods, who ruled the divine realm as he ruled the human realm. Often the approval of a council of divine elders who legitimated his right to rule as a patron god, as in the book of Job 1-2. The other gods were subordinate to or partners with the divine patron. Just as like a human like government and commoners were expected to be subordinate to and supportive of a human king. The pantheon was usually quite complex and often included hundreds of gods. Because remember, those 70 gods that were originally created had children of their own. It wasn't just 70 gods that stopped. We know that. Our stories, even though destroyed and distorted through Christian translations and Christian rewrites, remasters, we know that they had children. So it started off with 70 gods, and it grew from there. So is it fair to say that there are strictly Greek gods, strictly Roman gods, strictly Egyptian gods, strictly Norse gods? Yes, absolutely. Because if the children of certain gods only went to one nation, as it says, out of the 70 nations of Earth, then there is the ability to be specific gods for specific people. But in our heath folk tradition, we can accept that, we can grow from that, and we can follow them because we are open to the interpretation of all of this. We can see, or we should be able to see, that the Christian faith isn't our enemy. But the people need to be educated to where their path and past intersect. Where our path and their path intersect. So the reason why the Romans really chose to go with the Semitic gods was the Semitic gods were not the kindest gods. As supreme figures, the gods were transcendent and awesome, but unlike most modern concepts of the divine, they were distant, they were feared and admired rather than loved. The great gods were revered and praised as masters, and they could display kindness, but were also fickle at times, as explained in the ancient Semitic mythology. Which they really try to distance Christianity from the Semitic side, but that's why I'm here. They were poor decision makers, which explains why humans suffered the hardships in life. Generally speaking, the gods lived a life of ease and slumber, while humans were destined to lives of toil, often for a marginal existence. The gods of heaven did not work. Humankind was created to ease their burdens and provide them with daily care and food. Humans, not animals, thus serve the gods. And often aloof, the gods might even respond well to offerings, but at a moment's notice might also rage and strike out at humans with vengeance that could result in illness, loss of livelihood, or even death. So you can see why the Romans, when Christ finally became kind of a nuisance to them, and they started looking into it, and they started looking into the pantheons that he followed and the path that he was on and the path that he was leading the Israelites and the Hebrews on, why they became so interested in it. Their gods, the ancient Roman gods, were not cruel gods. Now, Mars or Ares was a god of war, but he wasn't a cruel god. He was a god you'd go to win a battle. He was a war god, just like Odin. They weren't cruel gods. They were gods of necessity during times of battle. They didn't require you to do things, to sacrifice things just to keep them happy. They were there when you called upon them, and they didn't grant you wishes. They would bless you and usually join you in battle. Where the Semitic gods did demand sacrifice. They did demand you pay money. They did demand temples. They did demand their priests be given the respect of a god, or their kings the respect of a god. And if you dared test their will or their power, they would strike you down. They would strike your family down, and it would just be bad. So think of this, like you're the Roman Empire. Your empire is crumbling. You know, people are starting to become more heath folk, more tribal again. They're losing their faith in the power of the Roman might. Now you find this religion, this path, this following of people who are willing to just drop to their knees and give everything to keep their God happy. And it's a path that you can convert to. Well, why wouldn't you? So then you take it upon yourself. You take it away. You murder its main person, its main figure. You crucify Jesus, who is the son of the main God. And you use that to your own advantage. During his resurrection, you show the people, oh, look what we did. We showed you that he was real. And now we believe. We go from the Roman Empire to the Holy Roman Empire. And we go to kings of these heathen, these pagans. And we tell them, if you switch, that throne of yours will be protected because you were placed there by God, and people need to treat you as a god. You will be praised. You will be showered in wealth, and we will back you for a percentage. They talk about the seven deadly sins, yet greed is what created their religion. They used it. They corrupted one of our followings to enslave us and to make us slaves to them, because they held our internal life hostage. And the biggest thing they did, the biggest attack they did on us, is they took our beliefs and they made us forget. They put us in a state of fear. They changed it. They started off with converting us to a religion that was very similar to the ones we had of multi-gods. Their main god was the father to Odin, was the father to Zeus, was the father to Ra. And they convinced us of this. And then slowly, through changes of a pen, because we were no longer allowed to read the scripture, because only those priests that take up the celibate vows were allowed to see this, and only kings and other powerful people were allowed to have input into how it was written. They took what was ours and they slowly manipulated it. It started off in the Old Testament having 70 different gods being sons of the one God to seven gods. And then those seven gods got turned into seven archangels. As you can see, they turned it into one God, which kept us on one path, that kept us very controlled. Now, they didn't write out the main God. You don't anger the creator God. You don't anger the father of all gods. Now, did we anger him? I don't know. With the death of Jesus, his resurrection to heaven, it's not just the story of Jesus. You hear this throughout, even in some of the stories of Ragnar, when he was cast into the pit. They saw him rise up out and taken up by a Valkyrie. Was that just a translation that was trying to mimic Jesus' translation? I don't know. But people ask me when I talk to them like this, they're like, well, how come Jesus is the last Son of God? And I say it like this. Jesus is the last recorded Son of God. Because the only way to keep the farce of the Holy Roman Empire is to make sure no more are found, no more are legitimate, no more can be confirmed. So when we go down this path of thinking, okay, like the church is controlling all this, a lot of conspiracy theory, blah, 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 I agree. But there's evidence that the church hides a lot of things. It was believed before that there were no written scrolls that came out of the Scandinavian area. And then a few years ago, the Vatican acknowledged that there were scrolls. There were written rune scrolls on paper that they had. There were scrolls that they loaned to Snorri to write the Poe's Eddas, which was meant to confuse the last remaining heathens into Christianity, into the new Christianity, into the manipulated Christianity. Christianity is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. Like I said before, it gives hope to people. It helps those who are down. And now that if people know more, they're just talking to the same gods that we talk to, just in a different way. They just need to be educated to the fact that their way of thinking isn't the only way of thinking. That if they actually looked into it, they would see that their way and our way are very similar. They didn't steal our traditions and holidays. We didn't change or manipulate theirs. They're one and the same. You do it your way, we do it our way. There is no problem. There is no right and wrong in this. You want to dismiss what you could call the lower gods? Fine. That is actually okay. If you want to go and only pray to the Creator God and forget all of his sons, to me, it's a slap in the face. And maybe that's why God or the gods have been very distant to a lot of the Christians, where they're like, how come God is not here? You know, because if you believe it in our way, in the way the original Christian faith was supposed to be, you're talking to one deity rather than the 70 or even the sons of the 70, sons and daughters of the 70, the hundreds and thousands of gods that could be out there. Rather than invoking them and talking to them, you're going right to top management. I don't know about any of you, but if you go to top management, a lot of the times your complaints get lost. And maybe that's why the Christians have found that God, or El, has been distant. Because they've forgotten that he's just one God among many. He is their father. And maybe that was one of the translations that the Old Testament should have left in there. Rather than, I am the one true God, it used to state, I am the father of the gods. I am the creator of all. And it also stayed in there, I'm the creator of both good and evil. And people need to remember that. I don't know. I know that heathen, on the heathen side, because we're way more of an accepting group, we can see the good and all. We can see what needs to be done, and we can adapt. As for the Christians ever actually making peace with us, actually doing their homework and researching who we are and where they came from, I doubt it. I doubt it because it goes against everything they're taught. It doesn't undo the word of God like they think. It actually reinforces their belief that they aren't alone, that there are more avenues for them to ask for help. And I think would actually create a lot more love and joy in their lives rather than desperation and groveling. But that's just me. And that is going to be the end of this section. I hope I didn't confuse too many people. I hope I gave you guys something to think about and something to research. So the next time one of your Christian relatives says that you worship the devil, you can be like, well, not really. Actually, you worship the same gods I do. You just don't even know it. You now call them angels when they used to be called gods. You now call it God when he used to have a name. And maybe educate them. I'm not going to say they're going to be open to it, but they might. They might be. A little bit of my background again. I am an ordained spiritual minister. So I did have to do a lot of Christian Bible studies just to become a minister for heathen rites and rituals. Trust me, it was a pain, but it did give me the idea for this kind of podcast. And I have a lot more information, and that's why I kind of stumble over my words, because I really want to get more out there. Because I think education to those who are lost is where we need to go from that, is what we need to do as a heathen group to legitimize ourselves, because we are still behind the eight ball because of this book, because of a book that has confused so many. Remember, you have your family traditions. Don't ever let anybody take them away. All right, stay tuned for the next section, which will be my Viking rant. Okay, normally this would be our head-to-head section, but it is now my rant section. And today, my rant is about Facebook, Twitter, all the social media that have these little heathen groups on there. Heathen groups that draw people in by saying, hey, come on in, we're here to help and educate. People go on there. There are trolls. Don't get me wrong. I know they're trolls. But there are the people that are legitimately like, hey, this is how I do things. Or, hey, I believe in the Indo-European deities. They're all the same. And rather than accepting me, like, hey, awesome. Can you tell me why or how we attack? Oh, man. We call them stupid. We call them names. Oh, you don't worship right. Oh, you call me brother. You're not my brother. My brothers are only in an MC or in the military. I'm in the military. I have my combat arms brothers that would take a bullet for me and I'd take one for them. But you know what? I'm also in a kindred. And I have my brothers and sisters there that I share beliefs with. And that's why I call them brother or sister. Just because somebody calls you brother doesn't mean that you need to get all offended. Oh my gosh, what is going on? Like, how have we become so weak that we get offended when somebody gives us a title of praise? If I call you brother, that's because I agree full-heartedly in what you said. Not because you have some oath or you owe me anything. Like, what is wrong with you? We spend so much time fighting each other because we have so much Christian baggage that if you don't do things my way, you are wrong. And because I don't like your way, you are wrong. I am right. Rah, rah, rah. Oh my gosh, listen to yourselves. Whine. What is wrong with you? I am the Gothi of a heathen kindred here. And I don't think there's one member of my kindred that actually practices the same way, because that is one thing that I discourage. You come to mine or to one of the rituals that I oversee, I ask everybody to bring their traditions, to bring how they do things, to bring their offerings in the way they want to do it, so that we can all learn from one another. I don't want a bunch of clones that do things like me. That is not what Heath folk do. We are a community because we accept each other as a community. Get off your high horse and get off Facebook. Oh my gosh, there are people out there that legitimately have questions. And I read these and I read all the negative comments. Oh man, it embarrasses me that you guys even talk to the same gods as I do. When people ask, oh, I'm a person of color, am I allowed to? And there are certain people that attack and say, no, you know, stick to your own. What does that even mean? Odin is the All Father. That's the father of all. Not the father of some and maybe others. It's the father of all. And if, like me, I do believe in the Indo-European pantheons. I do believe that there is a creator God that was the father, as you just heard in my podcast, of all the gods. And yes, these gods spread out. And yes, they had their own families. And yes, they grew in their certain areas. And maybe some of the gods in Norse mythology are not the same as in Greek mythology. And that's fine. That is fine. But I do believe the base gods, the main gods, are all the same, or at least related. At least brothers and sisters. That is my belief, and I don't care if you don't believe that way. I just hope that maybe you pick and choose a little bit of the things that I say and you go with it and you bring it into how you believe. And if you guys can take anything from my podcast, which, and if you can't, fine, but if it's anything, just take the, follow what feels right to you. Follow your heart. Follow the calling inside. You don't even have to believe in a single God, a single deity. You don't even have to. Believe in yourself. Believe in what makes you feel better about you. And man, get off Facebook if you just want to cut apart others. Because you know what? All it makes you sound like is you're desperate and sad that you can't even handle somebody else believing differently than you. Go back to the Christian religion. Go back to something that's structured enough that can handle that kind of attitude. Because in an open, free belief society like the heathen path, you have to be open and accepting to others and the way others believe. So please, take this for what you want. Take this for at face value. This is just me talking. But either empower one another or shut up. Nobody needs to hear your negative comments. Nobody needs to hear that you've been offended because somebody else is happy in the way they are doing things. And if somebody posts, this is how I do a ritual, this is how me and my wife celebrate, you know what? Tell them good job. Or don't say anything. Or you know what? Ask them more questions on how they do it so that you can incorporate some of their traditions into your own, and then pass it on to your children and pass on the moral that, you know what, we are open and accepting and that we are a people. The only way to grow, the only way to revive who we are is to grow, not fight amongst ourselves. We're already behind the eight ball. The Christian religion, their organized religion, has spent billions of dollars and thousands of years trying to crush us out of existence, and it hasn't worked. Don't let us destroy ourselves because we cannot let go of having to be right. Let go of that pride and open your eyes to be accepting of other heathens. And that's all I can say about that. All right, get ready for the ending. I hope you all who are listening are staying healthy and positive. But if you are feeling stuck and you don't know if you're on the right path, reach out to me. I will always listen. Send me an email. The voice of the Marn Heathen is growing, and I will do everything in my power to keep it moving forward. So if you're enjoying the show, please review us on whatever streaming site you're listening and support the podcast. Check out our store, donate, help us with research, send me more questions or ideas for how to bring our path to the modern world. Be a guest when my studio's fixed, or simply share the podcast. Our email and link to our store is on the description. And remember, a simple share is worth more than you know. So help me, and let's keep this raven soaring. Another episode is now safely stored in the vault. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and maybe change how you look at Christians. We all started from the same point. And now I believe it's time for us to come together as a people. We are very accepting, but not foolish. So stand by your beliefs, and those that believe differently, let them do so. While I'm waiting to get my studio up and running, I will continue to bring you how I practice, so that you, the listener, will get a real raw look at how I conduct myself on my path. So thank you, Ravens. It's always a pleasure. And remember, where the wolf's ears are, the wolf's teeth are near. Stay with us as we travel further down this path. A new episode coming soon, and it's going to be about, all about, the gods and how I believe they interact with us. So let's raise a horn to Bragi, my guide on this path. And to Odin, the Allfather, may he walk with you and yours. Hail the gods, hail our ancestors, and hail to you, my listeners. Skål!